Action Park Media.
The following program is rated TV-MA-LSV. It contains strong language, sexual situations, violence, and nudity. It is intended only for mature audiences.
Yeah.
Boop, boop, boop.
I'm going to learn that fill. I'm going to learn that fill.
What's a fill?
Drums. So it's like a little like, I'm going to learn it. I'm going to learn it.
Going to bring it in here and drum.
Yeah.
Drum for us.
A live show of just our intro.
Yes.
That's it. That's all you get. That's all I can learn. Do you play an instrument?
No, and it's one of my biggest regrets.
Really?
Yeah, it's the one thing that I've always wanted to do is I always wanted to play guitar.
I think you'd be badass on an instrument. Hi, everybody.
Hi, guys. Welcome to Talk Scary to Me.
We always forget that we're recording a show right when we start.
I know, it's true. It's because we're just like hanging.
Yeah.
I've got like all kinds of cups and stuff, and it's just,
we look like we just pre-gamed before this.
Yeah, I wish there was something better than water.
If you guys check out the video, it definitely does look like we are pre-gaming.
Check out the video.
I mean, maybe. But yeah, hi. I play the drums.
Do you have drums in your house or no?
No. So when I got to LA, I used to play a lot when I was a kid. I tried guitar. My hands are too small.
Yeah. I know. I even bought a little baby guitar like a year ago. Like a kid guitar. Not like a Tiny Tim.
You should try that.
I bought like just like a small kid's guitar.
Okay.
Which I bought for my kids too, because I wanted them to. Aww. I was like, if you could dance, like Carter's got, they have dance class tonight.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, if you could dance and play an instrument, oh my God, dude, girls would be all over you. Girls, boys,
they
whatever.
They got the dancing in. They really do. They've got the moves. Carter especially has got the moves, man. No, but I had to get rid of my drums as soon as I moved to LA because it just, you know, there's, when you live in an apartment, I mean, it's really, really hard. And I just couldn't get in the mindset of having like an electric.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So I feel like if I was to pick up some sticks and drum now, I probably would be fucking terrible.
Do you miss it?
I do miss it. I do miss it. I've been thinking about it actually recently and thinking when I get my house, maybe I'll get some drum set. Want to start a band?
Oh, God. Yeah, let's just add that to our schedule.
I'll relearn drums and you can learn
guitar.
The little baby guitar and we could dude.
I'll play a ukulele.
Do you know how many people come to our show?
No one.
Yes, everyone. Guys, let's do a poll.
To make us laugh, just for a joke.
Because
it would be a joke.
Can I sing
a little bit?
Yeah.
Have you ever?
So you've had to like. Do
I sang
singing.
In a movie once, just like one little thing.
What was it?
One little scene. This movie I did that I love called Steakland.
Cool.
It's one of my favorite movies I've done actually. And I had this little. I'm in the bar and I'm singing this this little riff, this little thing. So.
Oh my God, I love that.
And everyone was like, "Was that really you singing?" It's like, yeah, actually, it was me singing.
I always would get really nervous when I had to go to auditions that had singing. I
have a funny story.
Yeah, share it. I love it. You always have a funny story. I love it.
You like jog my memory in this crazy stuff. I don't know if I've told you this before, but I auditioned for Beaches. Do you remember Beaches?
Yeah. Right?
But ironically enough, I didn't audition for Barbara Hershey's younger self. I auditioned for younger Bette Midler, which Mayim Bialik played, which is really weird considering that like, why would I not? I probably could have gotten the Barbara Hershey one. But anyway, so I went a couple rounds and then they had me come in for the final and they had me sing, and they didn't tell us what song to sing. They just said, come in, you know, and I don't even know if it was so long ago. I don't even know if I knew I was going to have to sing.
Okay.
But they asked me, can you sing? And of course you're going to lie, you know, like we all do on our resumes when you're
sing,
a kid.
I can ride a horse, I can ice skate,
martial arts and oh, fuck yeah, I can do everything.
Climb a tree, whatever.
Cheerlead, I can't do any of the above. So I had to sing and they said, okay, we'll sing, you know, sing any song you like. And a normal person would probably have picked something like Happy Birthday or whatever.
Wait, before you say that, I'm imagining like Evanescence or...
This is so that girl. That,
okay,
she was like not even born yet when Beaches came out. What year was Beaches? I mean, I was probably 12.
Damn. Okay. Okay.
It's a long time ago, yeah. Girl. You weren't even born yet. I sang. Do you remember the Oscar Mayer Wiener
Get the
commercial?
Fuck out. Yes, you did, and you rocked it.
My baloney has a first name. It's O-S-C-A-R. My baloney has a second name. It's M-A-Y-E-R. Yeah. Oh, I love to eat it every day.
Yeah,
and
do.
If you ask me, I'll say. Because Oscar Mayer has a way with B-O-L-O-G-N-A. And that's the only reason why
Fuck
I know
yeah.
how to spell baloney. That's the song that I chose to sing.
Oh, my God. I love it.
Needless to say, I did not
get the job.
But who go? Because it's all like it was like what must have been what was on TV when
yeah.
before I went to the audition or something.
Yeah.
Why did I sing the Oscar Mayer baloney song?
Because you're fucking awesome and unique and like fuck it, man. I'm gonna sing about a wiener.
Go figure.
A driving wiener.
It started even back then, Scout.
You're
even
like, why do I like this shape
then,
so much?
It was all.
Why do I
about
like this car shape so much?
The wiener. I love it. We've got some naughty questions.
Oh,
you guys.
Let's get into it. Let's
so this
get
one's
into
really.
It.
This one is. I'm going to read it, but we'll just get right into the naughty because the last episode was so heavy, so I'm just going to keep this one light. Light, light, light. Okay, I am definitely not going to say the person's name because I just don't think that they would want me to. I don't know, maybe. It's just very graphic, maybe.
Oh.
Okay, I mean, but I guess we're pretty graphic.
Yeah, we're really graphic.
Okay, hi, Scout and Danielle. I love you both so much. I've been a fan for many years. I love that you mix horror, sex, love, and true crime into the show. I'm an author working on my first crime mystery novel. Awesome. And I love listening to the podcast while I'm writing. Here's my situation. I've been with my wife since I was 16 and she was 14. We have three amazing, awesome autistic kids and are deeply in love. She is my best friend. I've never been big on getting oral sex because I get turned on and get hard from pleasuring her. By the time I've made her come, I'm hard and I'm ready to go. Most of our sexy time is me going down on her. The actual sex is the shortest amount of time during our sexy time. And we're both okay with that. My favorite part is giving oral sex, and hers is the feeling of me coming inside of her. She recently stated that she would like to start giving me head before we have sex because she feels like the oral part of sex should go both ways. I can't state this enough. I dislike blowjobs.
Whoa.
I am 43 and I have never come in a woman's mouth before.
Holy shit.
Any tricks or tips to get over this and get me into receiving oral? Scout, take this one.
Man, I mean, I think that this is, who was it? Someone said something to me, a girl. We read a question. The woman didn't like giving blowjobs. I feel like you just need to find a fucking woman that doesn't like giving fucking blowjobs.
Hey, there you go.
You know, there's a fucking
yes.
person for everyone, obviously.
Yes.
Obviously.
The guy that was married. Yes, the gentleman that was married and the wife
yeah.
didn't want to do it. So maybe you find
Switcheroo.
A woman that.
I mean, in a beautiful, beautiful world, that would be
yeah,
that would
in
be
a perfect
it.
World.
Dude, I don't know. Honestly, I feel like, I wonder what it is about. Why he doesn't like that. Was it a bad experience? Did he have a bad experience that just kind of like knocked him off of it?
I mean, maybe some guys just can't get out of their head.
Maybe
is that,
that
a
is.
Pun intended? Like maybe they just can't, like, you know, it's just not their thing. Like they don't get off on it. They would rather have sex.
Well, I'm the same way.
Yeah.
I don't really want to like you to go down there and get me. Like I'm like, just like, get
just,
up,
let's just
get
have
up,
sex.
Get up. But
yeah.
I feel like a lot of women are like that because
yeah.
our tools are a little fucking difficult
yeah.
for people. So I mean, I would say, is it because the way she does it? Is it maybe?
He says he's just not really into it. But
I don't know why I desperately want him to be into it.
I'm like, what's interesting is, well, first of all, they've been together since she was 14 and
yeah.
he was 16.
That's what I'm saying.
So they've got three kids. Like, they're all good, you know.
But all he really knows is her mouth.
But he gets off on getting her off, which is very common. I mean, for me, it's very common. I know my husband's way more in, like ready to go when he's gotten me off. And then he says like most of his time is going down on her and she wants to do that to him. She feels
well,
like they
obviously.
Need to do it. But I don't, I mean, shit, I don't know. I don't know I how mean, to
but,
answer
but
that.
But just imagine being in her headspace too.
Maybe my she man, wonders why he doesn't
yes,
want me to do
my
it.
My man goes down on me all the time. Wouldn't you want to like give, like treat him as well? You know, it's probably yeah. causing issues for her too, not being
wondering
able,
what's wrong.
Like, why can't I do that to you? I want to do that. Like, right. think about it for her, per her perspective.
Right.
If Tom fucking told me I couldn't give him blowjobs anymore.
Right.
I would be sad, man. I'd be a little sad.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd be like, why? I like doing that. Like, am I doing, you know, I don't know.
But maybe they're also married for a long time.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know. He probably has only like felt her lips or something. Maybe they can explore with that a little bit in some senses. I don't know.
I mean, he doesn't have to come in her mouth. Like, she, I mean.
It's called an ass and titties. Ass and titties.
I mean.
Or as Danielle says. What did you say in your last podcast?
Say?
You said, you just spit it back at him.
Oh, yeah. You just make it all, so you just let it
Dude,
come out.
I remember last time.
Have you tried that yet?
No, bitch. Because I every time now I give a blowjob, I'm like laughing because I want to fucking do it. I can't fucking do it. I can't imagine myself spitting.
So you just swallow.
Back at Tom. Yeah, we already know this.
I don't spit in his face.
I know, but I just.
I mean, that would be interesting.
Just spitting back at a man. It's just, I don't know. That makes me laugh, but it's so. But
I
it
don't
is.
Know.
It's great. I'm sure it's fucking hot and sexy.
But there's
when you do
something.
It. But
like,
I just don't think I can like pull it off.
But there's something kind of like, you know, you're the submissive, yeah. right? When you're giving a blowjob, and then after the guy gets off, then you're like, yeah. Now and then you take your. Well, I don't know. You're not really. I don't know. Are you the submissive or the dominant when you're giving a blowjob?
Whatever you want, dude.
I guess it depends on on how or what the conversation is, because yeah. it's both, right? Yeah. It depends. Either he's like pulling the back of your hair and like forcing it in your mouth, and you're the submissive, or you're ruling. You're you know almost getting him there and then stopping right before, or you're controlling the situation and then you literally have his balls in your hands.
Well, maybe. Man, maybe you should try both of these ways and see if maybe you might possibly like the blowjob a bit better. Maybe you're getting tired of the ritual of what the blowjob looks like. You might
you
just be getting bored. Like, I don't, like, I've been there. I'm like, don't go down on me. You're not good at it. So let's just fucking have the sex because you're really great at that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And how many directions I fucking give you.
Right.
You do not follow them.
How do you give someone directions?
Bitch, I've been like frustrated enough to be like, hey, you down there. Okay, so what we're gonna do here is.
It's, no, you're in the up to the left.
Why are you?
I don't understand where you're going.
What is happening? Get your finger out of my butt. Focus on this first, then we'll play with that later.
Because they listen to the podcast scout and they know you like it in the
They're
ass.
Like, bah, 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 bah. Jesus Christ.
Wrong hole.
Oh my God, have you ever had that where like someone like literally does it in the wrong hole? Like,
I think they're not doing it accidentally.
Oh my God. No. This one guy that
I mean, you're just like, whoops.
Me,
sorry.
Like,
whoops.
It fucking hurts so bad. I was like, "Are you fucking kidding me?" And he was like, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." He hadn't
What?
I had no idea. I was like, what is happening? I was like, how did that happen? I was like, we're done. We're over. It's over. Let's watch a movie or something. And I like slowly try to sit down. I'm like, oh my God.
Oh my God. You need like a hemorrhoid pillow.
Oh my God. Yeah. Holy shit.
Whoa. Had you had sex before?
Me?
What? No, the other girl in the room that I'm talking to about some guy fingering your asshole instead of your vagina. Yes,
oh
you, Scout.
God, Mom, please don't listen to these. Please, for the love of God.
But I mean, you've had guys like try to put it like in your ass, and you're like, no. And they're like, oh, sorry. And you're like, you're just trying to see if I'll let it happen.
Well, what do you? Is there any other advice that you can give this guy? What would you say?
I just you know, he doesn't have to enjoy it. Just let her, you know, let her do it and feel good for a few minutes. Mm-hmm. You don't have to get off. Don't put that pressure on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it, you don't have to come in her mouth and have this whole big, you know, production out of it. There doesn't have to be a happy ending to it. Just let her start it because it gets her aroused the same way that it gets you aroused by going down on her before you have sex.
I'm also curious because there has been a couple of men that I've been with that have issues with getting off during a blowjob. I wonder if that's like, is that something that you have an issue with? You don't, some men just don't.
Yeah. Like I've been with some men that don't get off with blowjobs.
So I get that. But first I would make sure that your partner, you know, it's, we've said this so many times. You guys got to communicate. And I feel like if it's something so tiny and you love your partner so much, then fuck it. Every once in a while, let her give you a blowjob for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
And then have the good times that you guys love.
It turns her on.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it's anything bad.
Do it,
but
for
I don't
your
really
partner.
Know how to tell you how to get more into it. Just if your wife you loves
porn,
you,
toys, porn, toys, lingerie,
something,
anything that you kind of, I don't know. What about
you? Got to try
roles,
I guess.
Playing different roles. Ooh, you know what I really want to try? I think you and David should try this too.
Oh yeah,
go into a bar as two completely different people, strangers.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that on TV too many times.
I know, but don't you want to do it?
Who would we be? We would David
Can I
could
name
role
you?
Play. Like, who do you think he would be? Yeah, who would he be?
I want him to be like a nerd.
No, you know what though?
Like a nerd. Like,
I have this thing for. I love like when he wears baseball hat backwards. I love like trimmed beard, fucking baseball hat backwards, like his like work pants, work boots. If you like pull your pants down, leave your fucking work boots on with your baseball hat backwards, all sweaty, tatted, just from fixing the car and do me doggy. I'm good to go. Like that is a big old turn on for me.
David, turn this up volume.
He does it. He totally does it.
Volume high.
He knows.
Do that, please.
He knows. He knows.
That
he totally knows. Do you have a sex question?
So this is should we get a little sad here for a second?
Oh no, okay. Are we going sad?
I know, but I feel like I need to address this, but no, we won't go sad. Okay. Please keep me anonymous.
Most people want to remain anonymous, but you know who you are. And I, by the way, can I just say, when you guys hear your questions on air and then you write
respond.
To us and let us know that you're happy that we talked and we helped you, it is warms my heart.
And also too, which we should have read a couple of these. Maybe when you're reading the other question, I'll look into the other answers.
Yeah.
Some of you guys have been writing in that didn't ask the question and you're giving advice about the question.
Yeah.
So we will start including a little bit more of those too.
There's
only been a couple
too.
Of stuff too. Yeah. If you guys like, have opinions on what we're talking about and you're like, oh, well,
they may have experience. Like there may be someone who has had the same experience about blowjobs and knows what worked for them that could help.
We want to help. We want to help, you know? So obviously opinions are good. So A from the UK. Hi, Danielle and Scout. Firstly, I love you guys so much, and I'm literally obsessed with your podcast.
Thank you.
So
Thank
I wanted you. To ask you this question purely because I just want to hear you guys discuss it.
Oh, God.
Lavity, lavity, lavity face. Have you guys heard of adult breastfeeding? I'm a sucker for a documentary, and I watched one the other day about it, and, well, I'm feeling kind of traumatized by it. I don't want to sound judgy and, of course, should do whatever makes them happy, but I can't wrap my head around this. I've never even had a child or breastfed, but I'm like seriously freaked out. Maybe there's something wrong with me. Maybe I'm the one with the issue. But anyways, just wanted to start the discussion. And then she said, P.S. Rob Zombie's Halloween is like one of my favorite horror movies ever. And Scout, I'm obsessed with your Rocky Horror magenta costume. Hell yeah,
yes.
A from the UK. We have Pretty Little Liars. I love it.
First of all, is this like a fetish thing?
I'm assuming it's a fetish thing.
Yeah, but no milk comes out unless like...
Well, I think he's talking about. I think they're talking, or she. They're talking about women that
are lactating, and then the man wants
and the
to
men
do
wants
it. I think
to...
it's probably just natural.
Yeah.
For the man to want. Men are obsessed with breasts. I wonder why that is. I mean, it's starts
like
from
the
baby.
The milk doesn't taste good.
It does
it?
Taste good.
Does it taste good?
Yes. You didn't know that?
I don't know. Really? I
yes.
didn't know that.
Yes.
So would David drink your milk?
Let me tell you exactly how it tastes. You ready? Someone told me this, and this
cereal?
Is 100%. It tastes like the milk in the bottom of a cereal bowl.
Oh, no wonder.
Yeah.
I would do that too.
It's sugar.
I wouldn't do it as a sexual thing. I'd be like, as watching movies, I'd be like, babe, give me some.
milk. That's why babies wow. want that over like formula and everything else.
I did not know this.
Because it's really sweet.
Oh.
So it tastes good. I mean, I'm not like drinking it, but yeah, David's, I've been like, taste it a little.
Yeah. So if it does, like, oh, so good. If it does taste like good.
Yeah, the bottom of a cereal bowl.
Yeah. And then it's coming out of your wife, girlfriend's breast. Yeah, I
mean,
David
literally said to me before when I've like filled up and having the baby hasn't been around or like needed to get it out and the baby didn't get it out,
like,
he'd be
it.
Like, "Do you need me to do it?" And he didn't suck it hard. He didn't suck it hard enough. Like the baby can get it in 2 seconds.
Did you guys have sex after that?
No, it's nothing sucked. It was like I'm like after that, like don't fucking touch me.
Oh really?
It took like 3 years for him to finally be able to touch my boobs, and now I got my boobs done. Now he can't touch me again for probably another 3 years.
No! Oh my god! Oh my god!
But I wonder if that's like a fetish thing. But I can totally see like some guys like being super into that.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. Well, now we're going to have to watch the documentary.
But I don't know. I mean, are there like parties or people are like women that are lactating and
I'm sure there is. I mean, look at the whole animal dressing, like, you know, that are now turning into furries. Yeah, that are now turning into cons.
It's fucking so weird.
It was so nuts.
Did I ever tell you? I told you about the time that I was at Monster Mania in New York 2 years ago, I think. And it was the first time that I had flown without Jagger. It was only going to be, I got in like Friday, went right to the show, and I was leaving Saturday, like after the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought my pump with me, and I was like, I was just so tired of taking the baby with me everywhere and having to run upstairs. But I was still nursing. It was only like maybe a year, a little bit less than a year. And I actually posted this picture, I think it's still on my Instagram, where what happened was, is in the middle of the night, he didn't want to nurse. He was sleeping. I couldn't get him up. And I was like, okay, my boobs already had filled up. And then I woke up in the morning at like whatever, 6 to go to the airport. He wasn't up yet. I had to get in the car and go. I was like, I'll take my pump, I'll do it. So I did it like in the bathroom of the airport, whatever. And I didn't get a ton out, emptied it. And then when I got off the plane 6 hours, I was like full again. And it was so full that it hurt so bad. And the pump just wasn't really getting it all out. Like I needed the baby. And I even posted something on Instagram like, hey, if anybody has any kids they want to lend me.
Oh my
God. Like I would have taken a baby because wow. Babies have, it's a different like latching versus a pump. It's not the same thing, you know? And I'd not traveled without Jagger before. So I started feeling sick on Friday.
No.
And I had them go like get like some heating packs for me. And I was like leaning over the toilet. I was online like, how do I get this out? How do I get this out? Because it just was getting like rocks in my boobs. And I was leaning over the toilet like trying to squeeze it out.
Awful.
It's awful. It hurts so bad. And I couldn't get it all out. And then I signed and was at the convention all day Saturday doing my job, still like in pain. And then I ended up, I think it was actually Sunday, I was going to leave in the morning. I went to sleep. I ended up getting a fever. I felt horrible. I was leaving. My friend Matt was driving me. Hi, Matt. Was driving me to.
Could no one get you something like.
No one there's nothing that I could do.
Like
I had it with me. It wasn't getting it out. So I ended up going to the emergency room. I had sepsis by this point, and I was in the hospital for 4 days. Everybody left. I was in the hospital by myself in Philadelphia, and Kane came to visit me, and I was sharing a room with this woman who was like crazy on drugs, and she was only in there because she was having a colonoscopy and like couldn't deal with herself. So she was like taking her colonoscopy like prep stuff and then like going to the bathroom.
Oh no.
And then she was spraying the room with like amber rose or amber mist, whatever that Victoria's Secret hooker spray is that everybody used to wear, you know, like she'd be like, sorry, I'm so sorry. And she'd be like spraying it all over the room. I was like, I can't believe this is happening. But the doctor literally said to me, he said, if I would have gotten on the airplane from the time that I had left the hot, basically by the time that I would have gotten on the plane from when my flight was, so I would have gotten to LA, I could have probably died from sepsis. Like it happened so fast. So
what were you reading online? I mean, because this obviously probably happened.
It's mastitis is what it's called.
Okay.
So it's when your milk ducts get clogged. and you have to get it out. Okay. It was like poisoning your body essentially. So yeah, so I ended up in the fucking hospital, and if I look back, I'll see, and there's a picture of me like, my boobs are all giant, and I would have taken a baby into, if somebody would have handed me their baby, but everyone thought I was like joking.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, it's so funny, haha. I'm like, well, no,
you
really.
You were there at the con doing your job, so I'm sure people, you know, and you're such you have such a good poker face.
Yeah, of course.
I can never tell when you're upset or
I told
or
you I was at Texas anything. Frightmare going through a
That's why I always
miscarriage.
Sometimes ask you, I'm like, are you mad at me? Are you okay?
Really?
Are we good? I'm like, did I say something? Am I
really?
Okay? Yeah.
But I'm always like happy.
No, I know,
okay?
I know. But sometimes when I, you know, when I see
You're like, are you okay?
Is it really good?
I'm like, oh no, I'm just answering an email.
Yeah. Yeah, like this, like I think it was the other day when you're at your kitchen table. And you're like, sorry, I just had to write a nasty email.
Oh,
like,
yeah. That's
I was
what
like,
it
oh,
was.
Okay.
I was like, I'm sorry, I'm just writing a nasty email. Okay. And then I'm like, okay, now I'm done.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've got a question for
you.
Yes. Let's see. Hey, Danielle and Scout, this is Robin. Okay, I guess I'll just say it. Robin from Louisville, Kentucky. Huge fan of both, especially Halloween 4. Oh, thank you so much. This has practically broke my VHS watching it when I was younger.
Yeah.
I have a sexy question for you both. How long into your relationship with your significant other was comfortable enough to let you see them soft? I know with guys, we often think that we always have to be hard and ready to go 24/7 and can get self-conscious. Was it after the first time, the first shower together? Thank you guys so much for everything you do. Loving every episode.
I don't like that guys are uncomfortable to let us see them soft. I wish that wasn't the case.
Who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
I like
your body. I think it's sexy whether you don't need a fucking, honestly, I would like to see you soft, like normal, than just like a fucking long pokey fucking stick just fucking hit me all the time. You know?
Maybe some are growers, not showers, and they're self-conscious.
Yeah, they could be.
But women don't, we don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care.
No, we don't care.
There's definitely like my husband was insecure about just in general about like walking around butt naked for years.
Yeah.
I was always like, wait, we're married, dude. Yeah. We're married. And I obviously know what you look like. Like, why did we just have sex? And now you're covering yourself going to the bathroom.
Yeah. Tom does that. Like he won't change or like take his pants off, or he'll go into the guest room and like put on his chonies, and I'm just like, what is that?
What? We know
what
are
you doing?
Look like.
I was like, stop covering. And then like, he'll like hold a towel to go to the bathroom and take a shower.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's happening?
Right.
But I think I said like only time that he's ever like, yeah, whatever, is like when we're on shrooms.
And then he's like, let it all hang
out. He's like,
baby.
Whatever.
Just let
like,
it
no,
all
I'm like, no, I think it's
out.
Sexy.
I love it.
I think it's very sexy.
Yeah, I think
see.
It's hot too.
Yeah, and then that gives like permission for the woman to also be secure enough to just,
yeah,
you know
true.
What I'm saying?
Yeah, don't be insecure.
Yeah.
That makes us insecure.
Yeah, just be secure, man. You got to be secure with your partner.
So you just walk around butt naked.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Well, your kids, when I was spending the night...
Oh, yes.
When I was spending the night, I just had like a long
like
shirt.
Like a night
on.
Shirt.
Yeah, night shirt. And also, too, I wear a thong.
Oh.
So I don't, do you wear thongs? Well,
I
you
don't
okay,
underwear.
Sorry, you don't wear underwear. Okay, yes. So they were like, why are you wearing underwear? And then I don't think they realized what a thong was. So they were like, what's this fight? It's going
what
up
is
your butt.
That? It's up your tushy.
Like, it's going up your butt. So I had a lot of shit to dissect at 5 a.m. in the morning.
They were like, what's happening
like,
here?
I was like, I gotta put my china away. I was like, my china needs to be comfortable.
I mean, I usually sleep in like pajama bottoms and a tank top, yeah. Or like, you know, if I do sleep in like a night shirt or something.
I guess
t-shirt.
I should have asked you, hey, do you want me to wear pants?
No, I don't give a fuck.
I wear a long shirt.
No, I told her, if I wear a long shirt, I do sleep with, but I sleep with like boy shorts, like full bag underwear on. I
wear a thong.
No, but that's the only time I wear underwear is when I go to bed sometimes. And it's only because I'm worried we're going to have an earthquake and I'm going to run out in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to have any fucking underwear.
Your kids are loving it. They were just like, oh my God, butt.
No,
butt.
Yeah.
It's
well,
a butt.
Like you see,
it's
my kids are naked running around constantly. There's like no clothes allowed on in my house.
Okay, let me
answer
this and then we'll do one more from you. So my question is a true crime mental health question for Scout. You filmed Starlight in my hometown of Mayfield, Kentucky. The actor Hagen Mills, who's from Mayfield, was in the film. On May 19th, 2020, he held his girlfriend, mother of his child, and her mother hostage. He shot his girlfriend.
Erica twice and then turned the gun on himself. Thankfully, Erica and her mother survived. He was arrested earlier that week for rape, kidnapping, and endangerment, but was released a day before the hostage situation took place. I was wondering what your interaction was with him on Starlight. Did you talk to him? So he had a very, like, kind of small role in that. But what I do remember, I mean, he had, like, a thick, like little, like, accent. And he was very polite. Like, very polite. Like, wanted to be there. You know, it was, like, the kind of actor that just was, like,
yeah,
I'm on a movie.
Yes,
I'm like, this is coming to fucking Mayfield, Kentucky.
Right,
and I'm getting this opportunity. Mm-hmm. I'm working with these people. Like, he would ask me a lot of questions about the industry and, like, how
I
enjoy
it. Is this his first job?
I think it was, like, one of his first jobs.
Okay.
Like, one of his first gigs. And I don't know, man. I'm just shocked by this because he did not seem...
How long ago did this happen?
2020.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. So he didn't seem like anything like this would happen. But I did get a sense that he... Because we did get into, like, deeper conversations that he had a kind of a tough past, you know? And he was trying to get his shit together and stuff. And, like, so... Who's to know? Like, I mean, I don't even know if he was, like, intoxicated or whatever, or what the story was. But obviously, there's no story for, you know, to fucking do that to human beings. But I mean, she was just asking me, like, how he was on set. Fucking normal. But that's kind of how it is,
right?
It just seems like that.
And I guess
in the majority of fucking cases, people just seem fucking normal.
Then what about the ones that don't seem normal?
I mean, look at Johnny. When we talked about Johnny a while, like, he was...
Yeah, but you saw signs.
I saw signs of someone that had come from a fucking rough upbringing.
Right.
I didn't think, oh, he's going to kill someone.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's, like, hard to tell the difference.
You know, like, I mean, I've never really encountered someone that I thought, oh, he's going to fucking kill someone.
Right.
Have you? Like, in face-to-face, like, someone you talk to who you're like, ooh...
No, I mean, I think I've definitely been around people from time to time that I've just, my spidey sense has been like, something's not right.
I
don't know what it is, but I just need to distance myself, or something is not making sense here and I need to just kind of give myself some distance. But I never really know what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like that gut instinct, you know?
That's the second person I've worked with that has done something like that.
I mean, But do you think it's like artists are kind of tortured?
Maybe, man. Like, maybe. I mean, we're all a little fucked up to be in this industry and to be able... I mean, I'm sorry. We're able to channel different fucking roles and mentally get into a fucked up place and then,
like,
go get dinner at fucking Popeye's afterwards. And
ooh,
have
Popeye sounds good.
Does that sound good? See, I'm able to talk about that and then, like, smile
totally.
At Popeye's.
Of course.
Yeah, so we're all a little cuckoo bananas, but I'm not going to go fucking murder someone.
You know, it's funny, though. I think about, like, how... If a normal person could, like, try to act, like, putting them on set to, like, do what we do, like how, because, I mean, I had, like, training, but it's not like, you know, I had to go to school to, like, learn all of these ways to do my trade.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, like real jobs. It's just sort of like, that's just kind of either you have it or not. But
which
what is
it?
What is it?
A psychopath?
Are we a psychopath?
I'm imagining Malcolm McDowell when he's like, the eyes of a psychopath. All you Halloween lovers will love that
one.
Do you
think we'll ever get Malcolm McDowell to come on the show?
Fuck yeah. Oh my God.
He'll
be
all
about
it.
Could you imagine?
Yeah, we should call him.
Oh, he would be fun. He lives in not too far.
He would totally do it.
I'm sure. Or maybe he'll be at one of these live things.
But he's got kids. I mean, I think he wanted his kids to, like, you know.
His kids are great, man. I love his kids. One his kid Bennett is so fucking talented, such a good singer. And then his son.
That's his oldest?
No. His son just married Lily Collins.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Now they're doing a movie together and having a great life. Like, I mean, fucking go Malcolm. You go got some Malcolm. Good kids, man. All right, you got another naughty guy. One over there?
Let me see. I am looking for it.
I had such a crush on Malcolm. Did you have a crush on Malcolm? I had such a crush on him when we were filming. I think he knew it too.
Like, no,
yeah, beautiful old man.
I didn't really work with him. I only worked with him one day, and I was naked, dying on the floor.
Yeah,
so
he loved you,
and I was mad because he kept leaving the fucking door open.
Oh, I was literally going to just say he's so considerate.
Yeah. No, he is, but I was like laying on the floor like.
He was in his own head. His own head.
Like I'm glued to the floor from fake blood. I've been there all day. Can someone please, when you guys come in and out in between scenes, can someone please close the motherfucking
door?
Yeah,
what are some of this advice that you could give
to
people when on a set, when you're in a scene, what to do and what not to do?
When you're like naked, you
are, or just like getting in an emotional scene or just acting or anything, anything that you can like.
Don't tell jokes. Don't laugh.
Okay.
Don't like have a party in the room when you see there's an emotional scene going on and like just shut the fuck up. Right?
That's weird because I like the chaos and the noise. Because I find it harder for me to get there if everyone's just silent. I'm like, oh don't pay attention to me. Don't pay attention to me. I'm doing my own shit. All right, whenever you guys are ready. Cool, lighting's still cool. Let's go.
But if they're like, oh, yeah, that song.
I mean, not too crazy, like, obviously. Like, let's not, like, have the DJ out. But you know what I'm saying?
But there's definitely, like, loud chatter. And, like, I've had, like, you know, like I said, like, people singing songs and, like, laughing about stuff or taking pictures or so or whatever it is. And you're like, dude, I have to, in 8 seconds, they're going to call rolling and I have to go find my brother dead for the first time. So can you just,
you
I just need
get
like,
into that?
Yeah, I can when there's fucking silence. I mean, you can chat and be loud and whatever, all cool.
Yeah.
But if you can just say like, okay guys, can I just get like 20 seconds of silence? Mm-hmm. And literally if you just stop talking and it's silent for 4 seconds, I'm already there.
Mm-hmm.
I just need that like 4 seconds to like really just stop for a minute. Mm-hmm. Otherwise I'm hearing like 20 million different conversations going on. I'm like, I'm never going to get there.
You've worked with a method actor before, I'm sure, right?
No, I haven't.
Really?
No, I haven't. The only,
So great that you haven't.
No, the only actors that I've worked with where it was really interesting, which we were talking about earlier over dinner, Lance Henriksen. So I studied Meisner, which is, you know, people you guys don't know, it's a type of acting technique, I would say. Basically, there's no like preconceived notion of what you're bringing into the scene. Have you ever studied Meisner mm-hmm. before? Mm-hmm. So there's an exercise called repetition where you're basically just like you have your scene that you're doing and you get up and you just say a word mm-hmm. and it doesn't even have to do necessarily with what it's whatever you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can just say like looking at you and then you repeat looking at you, 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 brown hair, blonde hair, black sweater, smile, like whatever it mm-hmm. is. And then it ends up turning into something.
Yeah.
And when I was in acting class, it would piss me off because my teacher would always call me up with the new student, like the newbie.
Oh, man.
Because I would destroy them.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't expect it. And they would be like taken aback. So she would be like, Danielle, why don't you come up with, you know, Samantha or whatever.
Yeah.
And I would get up and they would say, you know, cute. And I would just fucking piss me off. And I would just be like, cute. I don't fucking like you. And then they're like,
what?
I don't fucking like you. I don't fucking like, not cute. I'm going to kick your ass. Like all of a sudden it becomes,
damn.
They're like, whoa, dude.
Yeah.
Just like little, you know, little things that it's like, don't judge a book by its cover kind of thing. Anyway, that's beside the point. So I was doing this movie called, I'm going to forget the name of it. Cyrus. The mind of a serial killer. And it was different than the movie you were thinking.
Okay.
That was like there was like a big studio movie that was really, really like well received. And then our little tiny movie under the same name was not the same movie.
Oh, okay.
Everyone's like, you're in Cyrus? I was like, you're not the other right?
Oh.
But it was good. So it was me and Lance Henriksen. And I had a crush on Lance. And speaking of crushes on older men.
Mm-hmm.
And I was supposed to be doing the scene in the basement where I think someone's trying to kill me, or like, anyway, he turns on me and it was late. I was freezing. I couldn't get there. It wasn't like the dialogue wasn't work. I was having a hard time, and I don't usually have a hard time with that. And I just said to him, do you know Meisner? And he was like, yes. I said, would you do repetition with me? And he said, I would love to. And I was like, oh my God. And I just said, I don't even know what it was. It was like, scared. I'm going to lose it. And I was like, I'm ready to go. And it was like, all it took was like four seconds. Great. And then it was like, boom, it was just there. I think it's just like connecting with that person and kind of having that moment. Mm-hmm. I did that on this movie Flesh that I just did with this other actor. And he had not done Meisner. So I tried to teach him. And I said, just repeat after me. And it was this big monologue. And I just, it's my father killed my mother. And she'd had me, and he raped her to have me, and then forced her to marry him. And I was telling the story to somebody, and I needed to connect to it and have it be like really fucked up.
Yeah.
And it was like lots of chatter and lots of stuff going on. So I said to the actor, can you do this? And here's how you do it. And I just looked at him and I said, it's all my fault. And he was like, it's all my fault. I said, it's all my fault. And like, that was it. And it was just fucking boom. Wow. It just came out. So, you know, that kind of stuff works. So speaking of crushes, yes. So I've never worked with the method actors, but I have definitely worked with, like, you know.
Yeah, some
interesting cats that are like
some extra sauces
that are super, super spectacular.
I've worked with a couple of method actors, and with me, it hasn't been enjoyable.
If you're playing a heroin addict, are you going to go do heroin?
I wonder like how far people push it. That's why
that's ridiculous.
Well, that's why I don't think it's healthy to be a method actor.
You're
but
a fucking actor. It's your job.
Yeah,
act.
It seems to work for a lot of people. I mean,
do you think it's a real
Heath Ledger? I think Anthony Hopkins is also a method actor. I think Leonardo DiCaprio is also a method actor. I mean, so it works, but I feel like it would tear me down. My soul, my heart, it would tear me down.
I don't know if I could do that for that many
months. Oh, imagine all of our shit, having to be a method actor with all the shit that we do.
How do you shake it off? I cannot put my body
through
that.
I can barely shake it off when I leave sets.
Yeah.
You know?
It's hard.
Even though I do put a smile on your face, and I'm joking, when I hit that fucking van ride, I'm so sorry for the band person. I'm just like, fuck me, man.
I know.
What
Where's
time is
the
call time? 5 hours? Yes. Fucking 5 hours?
Just enough time. 5 hours for your set, and they're going to pick you up in 2.5 hours. And you got to go home and get all the blood off of your body. And
fucking nuts, man.
All of that stuff.
All right. Should we get into this case?
Yes. So, I would love. How many minutes are we in right now? They're like drinking.
I think we have like 20 minutes or 15 minutes, which if we have enough time, we can read one more question. But this is a little bit.
Oh, wait, I have one sex question. Can I give you one sex question?
Yeah, sure.
Just because I totally forgot about this one and it's good. And I don't know if anybody really cared about my method acting conversation. Okay. So let's give them a little something.
Yeah.
So good afternoon here. Here it is anyway. LOL. Loving the podcast. You ladies keep me laughing over here. Keep it up. I'm sure this question has been asked, but in case it hasn't, question for both of you lovely ladies. What is a hard no when it comes to sex for you? Just something that if your partner were to even nicely ask you to consider, you would still be like, hell no to the no to the no to the no. For me, I am not into the BDSM stuff.
Yeah.
Like the scary hurt each other stuff. Nuh-uh. Let me breathe now. Sending love and well wishes to you and yours.
What is yours?
What's your hard no?
I knew it. Well, that said, I'm not into that. I don't want to be like what's that fucking movie that everybody loves? It's the guy like
Gray.
It has a dungeon.
Gray.
Yeah, like I'm not gonna be that girl.
Yeah.
I'm walking. I'm out. That's not for me. It's not for me.
Have you tried it?
Yeah, it's like I've done kinky shit. Yeah. Kinky shit.
And then you get stuck under your bed while a guy watches a movie.
No. Yeah. See, shit like that happens.
See, that's
to
why
me.
You don't want
to
be handcuffed.
Shit like that happens to me. Yeah. I will not make it out alive. Okay, that'll be a fucking horror movie in itself. Like a leather all the way up to just my mouth and like little holes.
Oh my
like,
God.
And that's all I'm imagining. No. Like even who is it? Dave Navarro does the
suspensions from the skin and stuff. And a girlfriend of mine dated Dave for a bit. And, you know, Dave like kind of talked her into doing that kind of stuff. And I'm like, ooh, I don't know.
Where do they put the, is it like,
I don't know. Clips? They put it in the skin. No, it's a fucking nail that goes into your skin and you
it's you like
hang.
A fish hook kind of thing.
But it's not like a, it's like a, like they, it's like a, people do it a lot. Like they, it, like, I don't think it's like in the bedroom. It's just like, it's like a thing that people go to. And it's like, but I think it also is a turn on, you know?
What? How, what?
I don't know, man. So maybe if someone said that they wanted to stick a nail through my skin and hang me. Maybe not.
That would be a hard hail to the no, to the no, to the no.
But people do it for like anxiety too and shit like that.
What is
this? I've looked into that because when my girlfriend was doing it, I was like, what the fuck are you doing?
Wait.
I was like,
was she like, but it's Dave Navarro. I mean, what am I supposed to do?
I mean, I like Dave. I know Dave and he's really awesome guy. But I think like it's caused like healing depression, anxiety, like, I don't know. But no fucking way. I don't have that pain tolerance. I mean, I have a pretty big high pain tolerance, but I don't know. I don't think I could be suspended from my side my skin.
For someone else's pleasure? That is nothing for me. No, that sounds like a trip to the emergency room. How do you explain that one?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't talk to her after. I probably should have and then kind of asked her how it went. But I think she, when she posted a video about it, it looked like she was hurting.
Yeah.
Like it looked, but then when you see other people that have done it prior, like they're fine.
Yeah. They like,
they
the pain,
like it.
Maybe.
They like it. And they find like a zen spot. Maybe we can get Dave in here and he can actually like tell us like what is that? What is that?
It's like
space?
Going to your happy place.
Yeah. Like what is that like thing that does that for you? You know,
it's called like disconnect because of fucking trauma is happening.
Yeah. Maybe that's what they need. To like get rid of their fucking trauma. What about you?
Oh God. Anything having to do with animals, probably.
Oh my God, is that a thing?
I don't know. I was just like, what's the worst thing someone could ask you to do?
That reminds me of the case that we read in the last one, I believe.
Was it the guy with the guy making dogs
gravy,
do things?
Yeah. Oh, that's awful. That's
did we,
awful.
Did we cover that one?
Yeah.
We did. Oh yeah.
Yeah, we covered
oh,
that.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. No,
that's awful.
No.
Oh my God.
You know what else was something that I was just, I don't know why this story came to my mind. I was dating someone that knew that I don't like to sleep over. We talked about that.
Yeah.
You know, you and I are like the queens of like leaving a love note or not on the pillow and splitting in the middle
why.
Of the night.
I probably would have had such like so many
can't
relationships
sleep.
Beforehand.
Yeah. No, I can't sleep. It's uncomfortable. It's fucking weird. I don't want to spend the night. I don't want to like, oh, this is, let me do the walk of shame. Are you going to buy me breakfast in the morning? Like, yeah. No, thank you. So I met him out for drinks with my roommate at the time, and he made my roommate take my car and leave and take my phone. Everything that I had, he made her take and leave, and I was stuck with him for the night.
No.
He would not drive me back until the next afternoon. So I had to go to his house. He was like, I want you to not be in control.
Did he think it was sexy? He thought it was fucking sexy?
Probably.
It's disgusting.
He's like, I want you to not be in control.
How did you, I mean, I know you. You have, like we've said this, you have a really great poker face. I feel like you.
I was so uncomfortable. I just
but you can't make him fucking see that because like it's fucking
and I
scary.
I really liked him.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh my God, he's trying to get me to like not leave. He wants me to like lay with him and like be like, he wanted me to go to breakfast in the morning and he wanted me to do this stuff. And I was like, I cannot, I'm so uncomfortable. I mean, I didn't have a toothbrush. I didn't have any fucking clothes. I didn't have like.
I didn't have my cell phone.
I didn't have anything.
If anything happened.
I had him. He was like, I'm here. But we're just going to go back to my house and you're going to spend the night. And then he wanted me to like run around in the morning and like go look at like textiles and like do like house he was building, redoing a condo or whatever.
Nope.
I was like, take me home. And this is before there was no Uber.
Yeah.
Or like any way to like somebody help me.
That is terrifying.
Like get me out of here.
That's
but
fucking terrifying.
He was like, you need to stop being in control. You're not leaving in the middle of the night. You're going to stay here with me.
Pig. I don't like that. I don't like that. Oh my God. I don't know what
that's
I would have
scary,
done.
Scary, right? So
yeah,
that's
hard terrifying.
No. That was a hard no.
Yeah, so don't do that, guys.
Don't do that.
Girls.
Anyone
don't do that.
That knows me knows. Like, can you imagine taking all that stuff away from me and forcing me to be with a dude like for 24 hours?
No.
No, I couldn't. Okay, I know we don't have too much time with this case. Let and it's a little it. Bit long. I'm so sorry. I'm going to try to get through this. So I watched a Netflix documentary, go figure. So the Netflix documentary is called Worst Roommate Ever.
Oh, I seen trailer for that.
Oh, bitch, you need to watch this shit. This shit's nuts. Well, now you're going to fucking hear about it
all. We've all had nutty roommates.
Not this like grandma. Not this fucking grandma. This grandma. Just wait till you hear the shit that this old lady.
Oh.
Old lady.
Oh, great.
Has
great,
done great. In okay. her past, oh. leading up to the murders. Why the fuck this woman
made it
was not
this
behind
age?
Jail bars is baffling to me. Okay, so the case of Dorothea Puente, maiden name Gray. Dorothea ran a boarding house in Sacramento, California in the 80s and murdered various elderly and mentally disabled boarders before cashing their security checks. Her total count reached 9 murders, but she was only convicted of 3. Newspaper dubbed Dorothea the Death House Landlady. So a background. So she was born in Redlands, California. Both of her parents were alcoholics and her father repeatedly threatened to commit suicide in front of his children.
Oh, great.
She eventually ended up in an orphanage where she was sexually abused. Mm. Her criminal history included being arrested in 1948 for using forged checks. She was charged and pled guilty to 2 counts of forgery, serving 4 months in jail and 3 years probation. So her first one, 1948. In 1960, she was arrested for owning and operating a brothel, was found guilty, and was sentenced to 90 days in Sacramento County Jail. Mm. In 1961, a woman by Sharon Johansson had Gray briefly committed to a state hospital after a binge of drinking, lying, criminal behavior, and suicide attempts. While there, doctors diagnosed her as a pathological liar with an unstable personality.
You think?
Yeah. What do you mean?
Hmm.
So Gray assumed the identity of Sharon Johansson, hiding her crazed behavior by portraying herself as a kind Christian woman. Mm. She established her reputation as a caregiver, providing young women with a sanctuary from poverty and abuse without charge. In 1968, Gray married Roberto Jose. After 16 months, the couple separated, with Gray citing domestic abuse as the main cause. Following her divorce, Gray would focus on running a boarding house located at 21st and F Street in Sacramento. And if I'm not mistaken, that's on like a very fucking busy road of Sacramento, like in the main town. She established herself as a genuine resource to the community to aid alcoholics, homeless people, and mentally ill people by holding Alcoholic Anonymous meetings and assisting individuals to sign up to receive Social Security benefits. So she changed her public image to that of a respectable older woman. So she was like in her mid-30s.
Yeah.
And she made herself look like this really old, fragile woman. By putting on vintage clothing, wearing large granny glasses, and letting her hair turn gray. She also established herself as a respectable member in the Sacramento Hispanic community, funding charities, scholarships, and radio programs. Mm. So
with other people's Social Security checks.
With other people's fucking money. In 1978, Gray was charged and convicted of illegally cashing 34 state and federal checks that belonged to her tenants. She was given 5 years probation and ordered to pay $4,000. So 1, 2, 3. 3 times. 3 times. But because she kept fucking changing her name. So the murders. In April 1982, 50-year-old Ruth Monroe began living with Dorothea in her upstairs apartment, but soon died from an overdose of mixtures of drugs. Dorothea told the police that the woman was very depressed because her husband was terminally ill. They believed her and ruled the death as a suicide. A few weeks later, the police returned after Malcolm McKenzie, a 74-year-old man, one of the elderly women Dorothea accused of drugging, accused Dorothea of drugging and stealing from him. On August 18th, 1982, Dorothea was convicted of 3 theft charges and sentenced to 5 years in prison. There, she began corresponding with Everson Gilmouth, a 77-year-old retiree of Oregon. So she targeted like 60 and above.
Mm-hmm.
A pen pal friendship developed, and then Dorothea was released in 1985 after serving 3 years of her 5-year sentence. He met her outside the prison in his red Ford pickup. Their relationship developed quickly, and the couple was soon making wedding plans. In November 1985, Dorothea hired a man named Flores to install some wood paneling in her apartment. For his labor at $800, Dorothea gave him the red Ford pickup, which she stated belonged to her boyfriend in Los Angeles, who no longer needed. She asked Flores to build a 6x3x2 foot box to store books and other items. She then asked Flores to transport the filled and sealed box to a storage depot. Flores agreed, and Dorothea assisted him. Dorothea told Flores to stop while they were on the Garden Highway in Sutter County and dump the box of junk on the riverbank at an unofficial household dumping site. On January 1st, 1986, a fisherman spotted the suspicious-looking coffin-like box near the river and called police. Investigators opened the box and found the badly decomposed and unidentified body of an elderly man inside. Dorothea continued to collect Gilmouth's pension and wrote letters to his family explaining that the reason he had not contacted them was because he was ill. She continued to maintain a boarding house, taking in 40 new tenants.
Jesus.
Gilmouth's body remained unidentified for 3 years. Dorothea continued to accept elderly boarders and was popular with local social workers because she accepted referrals of the tough cases. So that include drug addicts and abusive tenants. She collected tenants' monthly mail before they saw it and charged them with expenses. And during this period, parole agents visited Dorothea at least 15 times, though she had been ordered to keep away from the elderly and refrain from handling government checks, no violations were ever noted. So when I watched the documentary, the police talked about, like I said, her multiple names.
Yeah.
And her poor records going back and back. That's what it made it very difficult for them to
like find her and
find
her.
All the connections.
Wait, when she was with the dude in the pickup driving to the storage unit with the box that he built for her, and she was like, just chill, let's just stop here and just dump it on the side of the road. Wasn't he like, wait, that's littering? Or like, you know what I mean?
Do you know how many people drop like shit off front of our house? Like a bed, mattress, like fucking sofa. Dude, my tree.
Really?
As I'm like, what else have I put out there?
Really?
I mean, I think it's very common that people just leave shit on the side of the road. It's fucked. It really is. Like, you shouldn't.
I'm so A-type.
But also, this guy is like fucking probably was a drug addict. And he was like, $800? Okay, lady, whatever cool. The fuck you want me to do. I don't have to drive with you another 20 minutes out of the way, you know? Okay, so suspicions were first aroused when neighbors noticed that odd activities of a homeless alcoholic known only as Chief, whom Dorothea stated she had adopted and hired as her handyman. Dorothea had Chief dig in the basement and cart soil and rubbish away in a wheelbarrow. At the time, the basement floor was covered with concrete slab, and then Chief later dismantled a garage in the backyard and installed a fresh concrete slab there as well. Soon afterwards, Chief disappeared. All these fucking guys are just disappearing after they do like a task for this old woman. Like, can you do this, please, honey, darling? I'll give you some cookies.
I can't hang the curtain, Ron.
I don't know. I guess you shouldn't be making it. So on November 11, 1988, police came knocking after the disappearance of tenant Alvaro Montoya, yes, a disabled man with schizophrenia who had been reported missing by his social worker. After noticing disturbing soil on the property, they uncovered the body of another tenant, Carpenter, 78. Seven bodies were eventually found buried on the property. Dorothea was charged with a total of 9 murders. According to investigation, most of the victims had been drugged until they overdosed. And then Dorothea then would wrap them in a bed sheet and plastic before dragging them to open pits in the backyard for burial. So this fucking handyman, I don't know what the fuck she was telling him. Hey, can you just dig a hole there?
Yeah.
Can you just dig a hole there?
Just like 6 feet. And then she would. And then another 6 feet. And then another 6 feet.
She told him to make a coffin the size of a certain, like, she like had the measurements in her mind.
how I needed it.
And, but listen, she put the boyfriend in the coffin and box, and the other dude she just put in the fucking dirt.
So
right?
I'm sorry, Danielle. Maybe she was thinking of you. Oh, I can't litter.
I can't litter.
So I'll just do it in my backyard.
Decomposition, right? I mean, it's good for the earth.
Dude, it's fucking brutal, man. It's so brutal.
She must have been strong to like drag these bodies out there.
That's what I was thinking. She was in her mid-50s. Mm. But when you see a picture of this woman, she looks like she's in her late 60s. Hmm. Like she made herself look and
like
she
a little frail old lady.
She portrayed herself as like very, very fucking frail. I still don't understand how this bitch got all these bodies. Like some of these guys were big.
Big dudes.
Hmm. So during the initial investigation, Dorothea was not immediately a suspect, as there was no definitive evidence against her and she was allowed to leave the property. So this was in the documentary. She as they were going around the property, and I think by this time they had only found two bodies, and she was standing out there and they were getting to a spot where another body was located, and she asked if she could go by to a near hotel and buy a coffee. And
she disappeared.
And they allowed her to.
Ugh.
So she fled immediately to Los Angeles, where she befriended an elderly male, found another one, whom she met at a bar.
Uh-huh.
And unknown to him, unknown to her, the male recognized her as the woman that he saw on TV news reports. So he contacted law enforcement and they fucking arrested
her. They got her.
Prosecutors called over 130 witnesses.
Wow.
Argued to the jury that Dorothea, they are like a couple of witnesses argued that she was a kind old lady, that there's no way that she could have done this. Like some people were like fighting for her because she was so.
So when she's standing there with the cops and they find two bodies in her backyard, they're not holding her.
No, because
she's just like, oh my God, what's happening?
She's had so many tenants come in and out of that place. She played it like,
Somebody else did this.
How could poor little me.
Somebody must have done
how
this.
How could I have done this? Oh, yeah, wow. she played that card. Fucking nuts. So she used sleeping pills to put her tenants to sleep, then suffocated them and hired convicts to dig the holes in her yard. This fucking woman. The jury was deadlocked 11-1 for conviction on all counts and finally agreed to conviction of two first-degree murder counts, including special circumstances, and one second-degree murder count. Dorothea was convicted of three of the murders, although the jury could not agree on the other six. How the fuck
somebody else did that?
Yeah, somebody else did the same murder the same way.
In the same
kind of different.
Yard, yeah.
We can't really pin it that they were there. So fucked up. Dorothea received life without possibility of parole. Fuck yeah, bitch. For the rest of her life, she maintained her innocence, insisting that all of her boarders had died of natural causes.
Mm.
And just somehow stumbled into the
hole.
covered in dude, you need to watch this documentary. Everybody just watch. It's what is it called? It's called Worst Roommate Ever. There's a series of them. And
I had bad roommates.
Tom and I binged a lot of them. In this case, just because the image of her.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't have thought that this. I still can't figure out how she did it by herself. But
maybe she didn't.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, honestly, you know? Maybe she didn't. And then those guys were going to talk. And then that's why she was like, well, fuck.
Maybe she gave them money for drugs or something. And then she killed him right after they helped.
Yeah.
Get in the. Helped her get them in the ground or something.
Also, OK, this property.
Like
the houses
house.
Are here. Here. You can peek over into the next door neighbor's yard. So if my fucking little grandma. The neighbor is burying fucking it's like
bodies in the backyard.
Don't you think you would notice?
Especially in your neighborhood, everyone like, comes into your garage.
It's Sacramento. Don't you think you would fucking notice? Like if this was like a recurring thing that this little woman comes out at night around 2 a.m. to fucking dig holes in the backyard
in her little what are those called? Those little nighttime.
Yeah, like oh my god, the floral curlers in her hair.
And her fluffy slippers.
I'm a good neighbor. I'll fucking check that shit. I'll make sure our neighbor is safe. Our neighborhood is safe.
Yes. Hell yeah.
Well, there was not going to be any Dorothea.
No. No Dorothea in where you live.
Yeah. Oh, that was a long episode.
I don't know.
Episode.
You better watch about that lady that comes by your house that wants to tell you a story.
A
as you're like saying
that you're on, you know, she came in and she wanted a hug. She could have fucking shanked you and buried Tom you came, in her backyard.
And Tom came right after
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you better be careful, bitch.
Bitch, don't get scared. Oh, she's saying my slogan. I love it, bitch.
Oh, guys, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Don't forget, Talk Scared to Me podcast on Instagram. We've got
TikTok.
We've got
what's
Patreon.
Email, Danielle?
Email us podcast@talkscarytome.com.
Why the
send
fuck
your
I can't
questions.
Remember that. Please and, keep on sending that stuff.
It is Talk Scary to Me Tuesday. Have a great week.
Bye.
Bye. Mwah.